little bit of homework for you. Beginning of this series and all throughout, I've been saying the goal of Christianity is relationships. Let's say that again. The goal of Christianity is relationships. Okay, if you see throughout the Bible, people who got a hold of what that truth means changed the world. A relationship is face to face, and it is about communication. And whether that is Moses who saw God, he said, unless you go with me, unless your presence goes with me, unless I have a connection, I'm not going any further. Then you go on through and you see David, and it says David had a heart after God's own heart. It didn't mean he got it all right. If you look at David's life, it was a disaster in many ways, and many of us would have condemned him out of hand. But God didn't, because God knew fundamentally his humanity he could deal with. What he needed was someone whose eyes would return to God, and even after tragic situations, he returned his gaze to God. Jesus said he came to put a face on the Father. The relationship we have with the Father is because we've seen what it is through Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians verse 5, in chapter 5, it says God has reconciled himself with mankind. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It says in that verse, not counting our sins against us. If you think you're here and God is counting your sins of this week against you, you're wrong. Because the Bible says he has done away with that, and he looks on you just like, looking at babies, just like Susie was looking on Joshua this morning. She wasn't saying, but that's fine. You might come to the front, but, you know, what about this morning when you were crying and that nappy I had to change and those clothes you messed up? That's not our heart, and how much more is it not God's heart? So the goal of Christianity is a relationship with God. It's also a relationship with each other. And to find out about each other, we have to talk to each other. Some of us are good at that. Some of us are better at it than others. And so what we've done over these past five, this is the fifth week, is that we've designed ourselves a desert island. And we've invited people to come forward and just find out a little bit about them. Because in doing that, you start to see, wow, that person's quite interesting. And they've got a life a little bit like mine. And we've made some connections. And so that's what we're doing today. The reason is because the goal of Christianity is relationship. You know, when you have a relationship and you can hear from God, what Pete was saying was so important. Hearing a word from God will change everything. Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it's very easy to turn that statement into something about performance. If I don't get it right, I won't be able to please God. That's a mistranslation. Pleasing God, that word means, if we don't have a connection with God, how are we going to know what his heart is? And for the people who did find out what his heart was, they changed the world. And then it lists all the heroes of faith. They weren't heroes who struck out on their own. They were heroes who found out what was important to God and then did that and partnered with him to do what was important. And we find out what's important to each other. And this is a fun way of doing it. So, this is the sea, and we've got the parrots out this week. I thought they were quite good. So my first guest can be found being a great dad, putting out chairs. He can be found at the gym or behind a lens. So let's welcome Nick Jones. Good. Well, welcome, Nick. That's good. Is that working?
Yeah, just about. Can you hear me?
Yep, that's good. We can go up a little bit and take it out of the monitors. Sorry, I didn't get that. I didn't get that sorted out. So, Nick, tell us a little bit about who you are. Where do you live? Who's associated with you? And what? Who are you?
I'm Nick. I'm 29 years old.
I'm trying to get it louder. I'm doing my best to get louder.
I live in Nailsea with my wife and our daughter, Soph and Sienna. I'm a filmmaker by trade. What else do you need to know? Grill me.
So you've recently got married.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And that was our mass exodus from here to your to your wedding. Would you say there's been any sort of changes between pre-marriage and post-marriage?
You know, so many people ask me that, and there really isn't. you just feel a little bit more trapped. That's I'm joking.
Right. Should we try that question again? Yeah.
No.
I can edit the podcast, and for everyone's sake, I think we'll try that again.
What I meant to say was the thing that's really nice is when people talk to me and I can say my wife. That that feels amazing. Yes. I love that.
It's good. Yeah. Good recovery.
That was a joke.
Good recovery. So you mentioned that you're a filmmaker. How does one become a filmmaker? When did you think, hey, making films was going to be a good thing? Have you always been behind a camera, or how did that come about?
So after GCSEs and leaving school, I did a BTEC in media studies at City of Bristol College. I've always been a creative person. I wanted to do something very creative, so that seemed like a really good course. Really enjoyed that. After passing that course, I then did a BA honours degree in media practice at University West of England. And in the final year there, you had the opportunity to specialise in a project of your choice. And I decided to do a big project on the gypsies living in Bulgaria, which is part of your brother Craig's, the work that he was doing out there. I guess it just opened up my eyes to the power of documentary storytelling. And I felt, it gave me a real passion for it. And as a result, the project actually won quite a prestigious award in the university. And I thought, okay, this is something that I'm quite good at. And after graduating university, I did a bit of work with Pete, actually, at Werther's, just doing a few film projects with them. Then decided to go on and set up my own business. And we now specialize in promotional videos and corporate videos. But in essence, it's storytelling. I love storytelling. I was able to see the power that can have. And that's how I got into it.
We've got, I think we've got a photo of you. And when I saw this photo, I just felt how young you look. In this photo. It's a bit blurry.
Good.
But you can see, and you can barely recognizable. You're holding the camera, I think. It reminded me that it was a pretty brave thing to do, to go out there and do that documentary in Bulgaria.
Yeah, I mean, Craig was a great help, and he'd made the connections there, and he pretty much allowed us the access to where we needed to go. It was quite intimidating going into the ghettos, wielding big film kit, and having all the Roma in the area sort of staring at you. But we made some really good personal connections with the kids that were on the football team, and were able to tell their story and how God's helping them in the ghetto. And I won't go into it all because it was quite a big project, but. It was just amazing to see some of the work that Craig had been doing in there, and to capture it all on camera and to use that to tell the story. Yeah.
And was that your kit or was that
school
kit? No,
that was all university's kit.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't that bothered.
Even more. Excellent. I mean, I love any opportunity people have to, connect with like a minority group. The Gypsies, as many of you will know, are very persecuted and they're considered, to be of no value in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
So bringing people dignity, making them feel special, that's an amazing thing to have done. You've got a bit of family history in the Jones family of filmmaking. Is that right?
Yeah. You've done your research. Yeah, my cousin is Kirk Jones, and he's a big Hollywood film director. Directed films like Nanny McPhee, Everybody's Fine, What to Expect When Expecting, I think that was one. A lot. So you call him up on a regular basis and he's saying, I'm just with Bob at the moment, and that's Robert De Niro, his bestie.
Yeah.
So,
So is that the future? I mean, would you love to be Hollywood bound,
I don't know. I mean, he's doing all the dramas and it's great, and I'm sure it'd be absolutely amazing to do that. I think my passion is more telling people stories, in a documentary. I'd love to, dream big, make a documentary that would change the world, that would go on Netflix, that would be accessible by the whole world, all about the glory of God and how, bringing his kingdom to earth, showing hope in a hopeless situation, and just real people, real stories that will just connect with, those that have a belief, those that don't, it will confirm their belief. Those non-believers, it will open up their eyes and hearts, and that's my kind of, that's my
that's
mission
great.
In
that's
life.
Good passion. Yeah, excellent, really good. So, in true Desert Island Disc format, we've asked you to select, and I know it's very difficult, and everyone has told me this is the hardest thing, a piece of music. So tell us a little bit about your piece of music.
So, there's quite a lot of backstory to this piece of music, but I'll start from the beginning. I'll try and summarize. I grew up in this church. I came, my mum and dad, Joe and Martin, always came to this church, and I came with them a lot of my life. And then when I was sort of late teens, I wasn't interested in church. I wanted to go off doing my own thing. I wasn't interested in being a Christian I wanted to see the world and coming to church and having a relationship with God was the last thing on my priority at that point. So I was living my life. I met Soph. We got on really well. She fell pregnant. We then went on I was really scared at this point. I didn't have a stable job. I didn't have a very, a stable income, a consistent income. And I had this baby and this family that I was going to have to support, and I was terrified, I was nervous, I was worried. So I was in a very desperate place in my life. But we went on a sort of holiday just before, how do you say this nicely, poo hits the fan with with the little bundle of joy arriving. And that whole holiday, I had this overwhelming feeling that I had to come back to church. I don't know what it was. Every minute we were led by the pool, every moment I woke up, I had this really strong feeling that I needed to come back to church. So I did. When we came back, the first Sunday, I took myself to church, and Don Double was here, and he did his... it was great, actually. It was perfect timing, because he did his classic service where, at the end, he says, those who... have lost their connection with God, or backsliders, or just people that need to kind of reconnect. I want you all to shut your eyes, and I'm going to pray for you. So I did. I shut my eyes, and then he said, "I want those who are closing their eyes to put their hand up." So I did, and I just opened my eyes to make sure. And he connected. I saw he was looking at me, so I knew he saw me. So I closed my eyes again, and then he said, Right, now those of you who raised your hands, I want you to come up to the front. And I was like, okay, I can't get out of this now. He's seen me. So
he's a professional. He's a consummate
professional.
He knows
what he's doing. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a
yeah.
beautiful thing yeah. to watch. You know?
So I stepped forward. I came to the front, and a few people prayed. Joyce prayed for me, and my dad prayed for me. And both said the exact same thing. They said, Nick, this is a line in the sand. You know, whatever's happened in the past, doesn't matter. Just move forward. You know, this is your new start, your new future. And they both said the exact same thing, which was crazy. And then lots of things happened from there, and they were all very significant in my journey. One of the things was I was still living at home at this point, and I'd got out. I felt like I was, you know, building this relationship with God again, which was great because I knew those years that I was doing it on my own, it was a struggle, and I knew I now got a family that I'm going to have to support, and I can't go through that again. I need help. So I was feeling excited that I had that, but I still had that fear of how I was going to provide and you know, and all of that. So I was having a shower, and I got out of the shower, and I was looking in the mirror, and I was just praying, and I said, just, you know, God, I need your help. I'm desperate. How am I going to do this? I'm scared. I'm worried. I've got loads of fear. And it was so weird. I just burst into tears. I got all tingly all over. I was looking at myself in the mirror. Everything was so bright and vivid and colorful, and I was so happy, the happiest I've ever been in my whole entire life. And I just, the fear went. I just knew everything was going to be okay. And so I'm just reliving it now. Yeah. Yeah, and I just I hold my hand, Daniel. No, I'm fine. I'm good. But yeah, I just all the fear just went, and I knew that I was going to be looked after, and that was just a very significant part of my journey. Also, just one more thing, I had a text. Someone sent my dad a text, an anonymous person, and my dad forwarded it on to me, and I got it here, and it said, so this was a text sent to my dad for me. It said, woke about 4:30 a.m. and was praying for your Nick girlfriend and baby, especially for Nick. He has been on a circuit journey with God, but amazing seed has been planted in him. Have asked for dreams and creative ideas for him and wisdom. He and his family will flourish. And there was loads of things like that all happened on this journey, and that was one of them. And it was just confirming that God had me, and you know, I was going to be all right. And then I came to church one day, and you did a service. You spoke about God's authority, what authority He has given you, and the theme of the service was about crowns and giving each individual a crown to do something on this world for Him. And I'd been praying constantly that I wanted to do something in my life that had meaning, that had purpose. I didn't want to work a 9-to-5, just a dead-end job. I wanted to do something that I was passionate about, and that was always been film. And I believed that's what God wanted me to do. So getting to the song now. I was sorry, I'm rambling. But it's very. I needed to tell you that because I heard this song, and I was at the gym, and it was on my playlist, and I had my earphones in, and I've heard this song 1,000 times before. It's a sort of DJ, you know, dance track, really good. But I've never listened to the lyrics, and it's similar to what Rosie did and was speaking about a couple of weeks ago. It suddenly, in this situation in my life, the lyrics just jumped out at me and grabbed me, and it was so relevant to what was going on in my life, and it helped me through the rest of my journey. So I'll let you play it.
Excellent. Let's roll the track. It kicks in after about 30 seconds, yeah. So we'll get a little bit of preamble.
Okay.
Sorry, Alison. Nice fade. We were going to get all of our guests to dance to their track, but after Martin nearly killed himself, you know.
You have some problems. You need You get down on your knees and pray. When is he coming through? When will he answer you? Well, it may not be right away, but in the meantime, just keep your mind in a positive attitude. And while you're waiting, start praising. He is gonna see you through. Here's what you got to do. Praise him.
That's good. It's a good track. And, you know, for those who heard the word that Mum was sharing this morning, you know, she didn't know that track was going to be played. Praise opening the door. So, yeah, brilliant.
And that is exactly what I did. I didn't know the answers. I didn't know when I was going to be given, you know, blessings. But I just kept praising. I kept coming to church. I kept singing. I kept really feeling the words that were being sung. And, it slowly came.
That's,
you know,
good.
He blessed me.
That's good.
And now I've got my company and I'm doing the job that I always wanted to do, and I'm getting enough money to support a family. So,
brilliant.
Excellent.
Yeah, really good. It's good. It's really good. It's great. So you've got that track on the island. You're allowed to take a luxury. What's your luxury on the desert island?
My camera.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, I'd store all my videos, home videos of my family on there, so I can constantly look at them.
Yeah.
And I've always been interested in capturing my journey, you know, whether it's taking a GoPro on holiday with us and filming our holiday or filming it, for life. But so I'd want people to see the grand structures that I've built on the island and the lobster dinners that I've cooked and I'd make a whole story of my
How have you been experiencing
there.
Nick's lobster dinners? Okay.
Well, I haven't had eternity to practice, have I?
For a man who likes turkey dinosaurs more than anything else, I think...
Yeah,
you know,
there is an oven on there on the island, isn't there? Please.
You've got the Bible, you've got the works of William Shakespeare, you can take a book with you. What book would you take?
To be perfectly honest with you, I don't read a lot. You know, I read articles on the internet and anything work-related and all that, but I would much rather watch a film or play some PlayStation to kind of... That's my escapism.
Okay.
But... to answer the question, I have got a book that I've only partially read. I'm halfway through, and I've had it for 5 years. So this would give me a good opportunity
good
to
effort.
Finish it. But it's just a book, a business for filmmakers, basically. Okay. And it tells you how to turn your salary into a six-figure salary. So, yeah.
I like it. It's good.
Doesn't
Sophie's
work.
Sophie's saying, quick, finish it. What the heck are you doing?
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's been a pleasure to have you on the island.
Thank you for having me. And to
maroon you. It's good. We believe. I don't know whether this is just shameless self-promotion or whether, but anyway, we're going to play your film reel.
Okay.
And this is kind of the stuff that Nick does. So if it's what you need or what you know think someone else needs, then, give him a call.
If he wants a view, paradise. Simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world. There's nothing to it.
can help us.
Excellent. Give Nick a round of applause.
Thank you.
Good. Well, my second guest has been part of the church all of her life. She's done many different roles in the church, and as well as the worship team and youth and children's, and also she's also been cleaning out the toilets. He's around there, Sienna. So, please welcome Isabella Williams.
Hello.
Excellent. For some people, well, for everyone, standing up the front is quite difficult. It's not until you get up here and look at all your faces that everything dries up and it's not very difficult. So there have been a number of people who I've asked to join me on this couch who have said no. And so I'm very glad that Isabella is one of those ones who said yes, because it's very brave of you, but it's also very nice to have you here.
And I'm happy to be here. Yeah.
Now, again, certain different people, although, you know, I can make things up on the spot or generally, you know, wing it, that's not everyone's cup of tea. So I have formulated some questions for Isabella to give her at least a chance of knowing what the heck's going on. So tell us a little bit about where you're living, where you kind of living currently, where you, you know, yeah, what's life at the moment?
So at the moment, I live in Claverham with my mum and dad, John and Donata, and my sister Anna. And I've pretty much lived there all my life. But for the last 2 years, I've been living in Cardiff because I go to uni there, and I've been living with people I met in halls.
So how many people are in your house?
So when I met these people in my hall, we had like a massive group of people of loads of different flats, and we really just like merged and connected, and so I've been living with 9 people. Ooh. In a house.
No. That's called a slum.
It was a challenge. That is so mean.
I mean, I haven't visited, but I'm kind of sensing what it smells like from here.
Well, good job I lived on the top floor then.
Ah, nice.
No, it was really lovely. I love every single one of those people in that house, and it's been an absolute joy to live with them and experience life with them. Thankfully, next year I'm living with it's only going to be 5 girls, so hopefully more manageable.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely an experience.
Is there a rota? Is there a kind of, you know, are there charts on the walls with stars telling people what to do, or is it, you know, just generally kind of simmering resentment to everyone who's not cleaning up?
One of my friends tried to make a rota and we all like just defaced it. We just didn't want to do it. Everyone kind of washes up their own stuff, or not. And then if you kind of like have some spare time, you like tidy or clean, because we all do different courses, so we're all like stressed and like working hard at different times, and it worked. I mean, there were definitely some people who did more work than others. But it's fine, you just gotta love them anyway.
It's good. I have memories of visiting friends in university, and it still traumatizes me. So you've grown up in the church, and you know, from literally, you know, one of these little ones running around to you are now. So what are some of your memories of being part of Living Waters Church over, I don't know, how many years is it? How old are you now?
21.
Amazing.
I have so many lovely memories. I absolutely love being here. Some of my fondest are playing with Ella down the hall. We used to make, like, waiting for the service to start, we used to make up, like, adventure stories and stuff, and it was quite silly. Also, growing up in the youth group, groups. When it used to be called like Josiah Giants and Livewire, Axiom Home Group. Woo! So good. Like, I absolutely loved it. I loved coming to church and being with all my friends. And definitely the teaching and the relationships I made there made me who I am today. And yeah, I'm just very grateful for everything that happened here. Also going to Soul Survivor and Momentum. Literally changed my life. I had so many amazing God experiences. And this is actually the first year that I haven't gone to a Soul Survivor event since, like, I was in year 8.
That means you're a proper grown-up now.
Yeah. Horrible. Hey, adulting. But yeah, that was amazing. Yeah. Also helping with the kids' clubs. I love, like, jumping up and down and, like, singing and just, like, interacting with kids. And also being in the band was a lovely experience, like, getting to know people. And I love singing and worshipping God, and that was amazing. But the thing that really changed me and the thing that I grew in the most, it might sound silly, but, like, it genuinely was cleaning the toilets. So you hear Daniel talking about pure love and being a humble servant and serving, it's all like intellectual until you actually, you know, do it. So if you're not on a team or anything or doing any volunteering, I recommend like just like getting involved, because that was when I felt like most connected to God, and I just got to interact with people that I wouldn't normally. So that was amazing. Yeah. And I think that, you know, made me who I am as well.
Excellent. I haven't paid Isabella to say that, so there's no money has changed hands. But you're right. Pete said that we're made in God's image, and God is a humble servant, and so if you want to, as Isabella has said, if you want a greater connection and a greater revelation from God and a quicker revelation and more progress in your life, then get somewhere where you're serving others and. In any situation, as well as praising him, serve someone, and it will change your life. Yeah, it's good. So you're at university. What are you doing? What course?
I've just finished second year, and I'm studying history. For those of you who are interested, I focus on more modern history, 1800s, 1900s, and mainly in Britain, because I've done more of that in school, so I thought it'd be like easier to do kind of what I know. I absolutely love it. I mean, sometimes people ask me and they're like, "Oh, what do you do?" And I start explaining, and they're just like, yeah. They start falling asleep. But I love it.
Yeah.
If you want to know more, come and ask me. I could talk about it all day, but some of you I know won't, so that's fine.
So you, I mean, has this sort of it's always been a fascination and a love, or did you just sort of kind of think that would be a good university course?
Yeah, absolutely love it. I loved when I was in school, like listening to the history stories that one particular history teacher used to, his style of teaching was super interesting. And I guess it was just because I was never like super clever, you know, the band of really clever kids in your school always do the sciences, do the maths. That was never me. I was more like creative, and I don't know, it just seemed really good. It went really well in A-levels, so just decided to continue it.
It's good. It's nice.
Yeah.
You don't want, you know, a lot of people end up at university and don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then think, what the heck am I going to do? I've already spent the money and I want to do another course, so it's really nice that you're going to do that. So you've been away for, as you say, a couple of years. Is it challenging to kind of reconnect when you come back on the holidays? How does that kind of work? You know, some people will know you, some people kind of won't know you. I mean, how have you found that?
Like you said, like it's actually not a challenge at all to reconnect, because even though I don't know you all, the people I do have relationships with here and have made friends with, every time I come back, like ask me questions about my life and try and reconnect with me, and it is like being in a family here, so I always feel at home coming back. So
that's good.
Yeah,
it's good. I know, you know, stories when you know, someone's been away to university 3.5 years later, they walk back in the church and someone welcomes them at the door and says, I haven't seen you for a while. You know, have you not? And you kind of think, no, we need to be, you know, better. It's great to have Paul and Hong back after their long absence to China and all sorts of places. And that is, that's good to hear. So tell us a bit about your song that you've chosen to be marooned on this desert island with.
I found this really hard, as everyone did. I absolutely love music. I did music A-level, so I love all that classical opera music. I also grew up in a really musical family. I also love like chart music, like dance music, and because I love to party, us being a student. But this song, you all know it. It's Dancing in the Moonlight, and every time it comes on, I literally just can't stop. I literally like have to dance, and it's been like a really prevalent song all through my life, because whenever we went as a family, whenever we went to weddings or parties, obviously, you know, cheesy tunes, it would always come on, and my dad used to like get me, and he used to be like, oh yeah, this is the daddy daughter dance song, and we used to dance to it. So yeah, this is just why I love it.
Excellent. Let's roll the track. You will know it if you don't.
It's really lame, sorry. I don't care.
We get it almost every night. When that moon is big and bright, it's a supernatural wild delight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Everybody here is out of sight. They don't bark and they don't bite. They keep their clues to keep it tight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling.
Excellent. We'll play that too long. We'll lose the plot completely.
I understand. Don't
yeah,
worry.
Yeah. No, it's excellent. Now, luxury that you could take on this island. You're not allowed to take anything that you can communicate with the outside world, and it can't be a use of escape either. So you know.
So I also found this one quite hard as well. So at university, I decided to take up lacrosse. If you don't know what that is, it's a game where you have a stick with a net at the end and a very hard rubber ball, and you have to like
injure each other with it.
You have to throw the ball to each other and catch it. That's the other thing. And like try and get in a net. It's basically like hockey but in the air. So I thought I might take my lacrosse stick and ball, but then I realised that you can't play by yourself. So this is flawed. I absolutely, like, although, you know, this is a bit silly, but it is a desert island. I do love beaches, and I love going on holiday. I also love tanning. So I guess I just bring, like, a bag full of, like, beach kit. So, you know, towel, sun cream,
nice.
Water, sunglasses, yeah. Basic.
The whole
beaching.
Lot. Yeah. Nice. I like it. So... apart from, you know, having kind of washed up on the shore and immediately laid your towel out and got your stuff sorted.
That's the dream.
We'll build a you know, the shack later. Your dad is always dragging you off on sort of adventure holidays. So has any of it rubbed off? Are you going to survive on this island? Are you going to create some, you know, wonderful three-dimensional, you know, structures? Or is it just going to be a bit of a disaster?
Well, I'd like to think that I'm quite tough. I mean, you know, we did moan as kids going on like these ridiculous adventures. but after having done that, it has, yeah, rubbed off on me. Like, I've been camping pretty much every summer of my life. So, yeah. And like, if you look at some of my friends, it's just like, I've never been camping. And I'm like, oh dear. and also, I've watched every like Bear Grylls episode, so I think I'd be all right.
Okay,
I'm pretty tough.
Yeah, nice. I'm impressed. So you're allowed to take a book with you. You've got Shakespeare. You've got the Bible. So, book.
So anyone who knows my dad knows that he has quite a niche favorite films and like books. We grew up watching like sort of, you know, the whole action movies and like fantasy adventure, so like Lord of the Rings, Stars and stuff. And my dad has this book, and it's the trilogy of Lord of the Rings in one volume, and it's been sat on my shelf for quite a while and haven't really got around to it, so I guess this would be the perfect opportunity to read it, as it's quite big.
And then you could use it for weightlifting
as well.
And it would look really impressive.
Beach bod.
Excellent. So my last question is, in 10 years time, if we had you back on this on this sofa, what would you have hoped to have experienced in life or achieved? Yeah. Or, you know, what would the future hold?
The whole future question is quite a blank at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't really know what job I want to do. So I guess, you know, like God's told me that, you know, when I start looking after university, there'll be something for me. So I'm just trusting in that. But I would like to do some more traveling and not like have a fear of it, you know, maybe with friends and stuff. I'd also like to do some more volunteering with my church in Cardiff. They do like this gap year called like the Encounter Year, and I might do that after university, and it's basically just like interning, so that'd be cool. I don't know, it's a long time, 31. I could do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I literally don't
know. We'll book the date in now. We'll turn the diary over
I'll
and
pencil you in.
It's good. I mean, I love the fact that, you know, you've already been reassured by God that He's got it in hand, and that word that that Anna brought this morning was great. Mm. You know, that when we do what God is asking us to do, He will resource us. He's already gone ahead of us and put all those things in place that we need. And if there is anything that, you know, certainly in terms of the traveling that I can recommend, is that God is the most essential thing to take with you, because what He says in every situation will change it. And, you know, you can't guarantee. This week has been an absolute disaster in places all over the world. And you've got two choices. You either go with fear, like Pete says, and you don't go anywhere and you hope it doesn't come to Clevedon or Claverham. Or you go with faith and say, it's only going to be my connection with you, God, and your voice that I'm listening to, which will keep me safe. And, that's all I can recommend for anyone who is doing something new, is God's got it sorted, and is more, just like Sue said, is absolutely intent on watching over you and communicating with you what you need to do, when you need to do. And our job is to get better at that, so that we can react and be led by Him, be moved easily by Him. So well, I'm excited to know what could be in the 10 years. And, you know, you might have written a complete new take of modern history, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah. The Trump years. The Trump months. Yeah. All I want for Christmas is impeachment. No. We better not get onto that. It's too easy. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. Give a big round of applause to Isabella.